May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Good afternoon. When we quote this verse from Galatians 2:20, the first little statement before there's a comma, it's one of the most powerful words or statements or phrases in the Christian life, in our Christian experience. And it's the words, I am crucified with Christ. Now, again, that's written in the perfect tense. So I'm not trying to be a grammatical teacher, but perfect tense, which God chose to do that in the original language, means it was completed in the past, but has continual present tense results. So it means it's part of our reality, something that was accomplished, but is real to us every minute of every day. It's a significant aspect of our Christianity. And when we think about Jesus on the cross, what we talk about a lot, what Christians talk about a lot rightly, is that Jesus died for us. And yes, he did. But Jesus didn't just die for us. When he took on human flesh, he was taking on humanity. And he died on the cross as us. We died in him in some mystical, mysterious, and glorious way. We were crucified with Christ. This is sort of building on some things we talked about yesterday and even for CTKers last night. So when Christ was hung on the cross, we were there. When he was buried, we were there. When he rose from the dead, we were there. When he was ascended, we were there, all in him. A lot of people have a concept about God that as Christians, if we blow it, God's going to punish us because we deserve to suffer as a result of blowing it because God's perfect. Therefore, we deserve the suffering that comes from punishment. But it's really so important for us to understand that we were already punished and we already suffered for our sins in Christ. If I was crucified with Christ, his suffering was my suffering because his death was my death. So God doesn't punish Christians, causing them to suffer because that's what they deserve to straighten them out. Jesus suffered for all my sins. And I was in him, and therefore I suffered in him for all my sins. That's the wonderful, amazing reality of God's grace, is that he took all the pain. I get all the benefit and joy of it. I was in him, but I didn't go through the suffering. But God reckons it as if I were there also suffering. And so God is not going to punish you and cause you to suffer. That's already happened. You suffered in his suffering. There's a place in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6, and says, this is a prophetic word in the Old Testament about the Messiah. And one will say to him, what are these wounds in your hands? And he will say, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And so if someone were to say to the Redeemer, what are those wounds in your hands? Because you are a Christian, you can actually answer and say, from now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear in my body the brand marks of Christ. You can point to your own hands and say, I died on that cross with him, and therefore I'm at peace with God. God's not angry with me. We talked about this some yesterday and again last night. God reconciled me to himself and accomplished peace between us in Christ. So the person who deserves suffering and punishment, it happened in Christ. That happened to me in Christ. And therefore, God is now at peace with me. There's a scripture in Hebrews. You say, well, what about, doesn't God discipline us? Yes. There's a big difference between punishment and discipline. Plus, I want you to hear this. This is from Hebrews chapter 12. It's that famous scripture. Verse 5, and have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons and daughters? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Not out of anger or wrath. When we're disciplined, it comes out of God's love. But hang in there because I want you to see something. And he scourges every son whom he receives. And if for discipline that you endure, God deals with you as with sons and daughters. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? And if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons and daughters. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The word discipline here is the word we get pediatrics from, paedio. It just means child. And then you added a little thing to it, it means training a child or instructing a child, or could be added to that correcting a child. But when he talks about discipline, like in John 15, the word pruning is just the word cleansing. And so the fact that the God of love disciplines those whom he loves, not punishes, not wanting them to suffer because they deserve it because of what they've done, he trains us. This includes instructing us. It primarily means instructing us and then correcting us. It could be just a rebuke. We always think of it in terms of to try to equate it to punishment. It's not. It's for our good. It's because he loves us. It's so that we'll partake of his holiness and the peaceable fruit of righteousness. There's a huge difference. God doesn't have an attitude towards you because you've gotten it wrong. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He's disappointed for you if you're choosing to not walk that out because he paid a huge price for that. This is what it says in 1 John chapter 5. This is a really important reorientation of your understanding of who God is, how he deals with us. This is from 1 John 4, verse 17. By this, our understanding of God, God's love is perfected with us. By this, what is he going to say? That we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, Jesus, so are we in this world. God sees you in Christ. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. You don't have to fear punishment any more than Jesus does. That's not the way God transforms us. You maybe grow up, but maybe you grew up in a church environment that's full of manipulation and condemnation and guilt and threats from God. People screaming at you and yelling at you about being bad. That's not God. That's spiritual witchcraft. Does the Lord instruct us? Does he convict us of, show us things that we're getting wrong? Does he even allow us sometimes to walk into messes that we're determined to walk into so we'll learn some stuff? Yes. Does God punish us? Allow us to suffer because we deserve it? No. Everything we deserved, we paid for in Christ already. I don't have to be afraid in the day of judgment, because as he is, so am I in this world. Now, there's so much there. But to me, that's just powerful. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.